Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Welcome in, everybody. Wednesday edition of a numbers game here on VSiN. I'm Ben Wilson in one more day for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin, as always, holds down support for us at our Circus Sportsbook studio downtown Las Vegas. A lot of good action last night between the Jimmy V Classic and college basketball, Kelly. We at the NBA Cup. We've got some Major League Baseball winter meeting news to get to. I'm sorry, my hometown Milwaukee Bucks could not cover for you. I mean, they were in danger of losing the game last night, but the Bucks and the Thunder advanced to your NBA Cup semifinals. And if it were not for Jalen Suggs, you kind of have to give him credit, right, Kelly? Herculean effort to get the Magic almost across the finish line there last night in Milwaukee.
Yeah, they easily could have won that game. Incredible effort from Orlando. Milwaukee came out of the gates looking like they were just expecting to walk into the next round. And the Magic, man, just like they've been doing all year, playing tough basketball, forcing turnovers, pressuring them on defense. They looked really good. And then that third quarter finally looked like things were going to start to go our way. They dropped like 13 points in it. Offense finally started to slow down. And then, yeah, Jalen Suggs in the fourth, man. What was it, 18, 20, whatever he finished with. Incredible fourth quarter from him last night that prevented, yes, the cover from getting home. You're right, they easily could have lost the game. I did get an in on a live bet in the second quarter on Milwaukee, which was a miracle cover at 4.5.
Yeah,
114.
Down three with a minute to go.
Yeah, down three with a minute to go. That's a lucky cover. So I'll take that one. But look, I try to be honest as we can about our bets. Got in on Milwaukee live. I had OKC last night. That got home. Still didn't come close to break even. That's how loaded up I was on Milwaukee pregame. So, bad night. The Cowboys are here in Vegas. They're all over the place. They're screwing up my coffee routine, so I'm a little upset this morning, Ben, all right? Lost money yesterday, and I can't get coffee. Drinking energy drinks. These are a PM drink. This is a PM drink. AM, I need coffee.
Well, your issue is you need to throw in the 20 rider rodeo parlays like we used to do back in the day, purely based on name. That's I think that's what would get the mojo in the correct direction for you.
That's right. Yeah, we need a solid bull riding handicap at some point this week. Yeah,
I think that'd be great. I think that would be great. I don't know if we'll get that from our guest today, but we do have some great guests coming up. If anybody of the three you would handicap, probably Jason Weingarten would be
your
favorite in the clubhouse to have some rodeo handicapping. Jason will join us at our second hour, 11:15 a.m. Eastern time. He'll have a lot of thoughts on all the Major League Baseball moves that have happened over the last a couple of days, as well as the Army-Navy game, which is the one college football game this week. He is after Jonathan Von Tobel will join us to talk about the NBA Cup, a couple games tonight, as well as some college football playoff thoughts and NFL Week 15 JVT in an hour at 11 Eastern. And to kick off our guest, we'll go to Jim Root, a fellow Wisconsinite, Kelly. I love how whenever I'm on, you just load it up with friendly Midwesterners. Jim Root from the Three Man Weave will join us. It was an interesting night, to say the least, in college basketball last night. He comes up at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. So you get the Magic. They battle hard. Bucks do get the win. Bucks are short now. They're plus 270 to win the NBA Cup. The bet that we were talking about yesterday that I at least, you know, felt like was reasonable to take a small piece in Giannis Antetokounmpo to be NBA Cup MVP at near 6-1. That is down to, I believe, plus 350 as of last check. And on the other side, it's sort of funny, though. You're watching that game last night. Bucks pulled out. And then you watch the second game, and I'm like, it's really going to be fun when the Bucks, you know, find a way to get to the finals and then just get steamrolled by OKC, because this Thunder team that after the super hot start to the year, maybe it cooled off a little bit. But last night in this true tournament win in advance format, I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander just went to another level, and a Dallas team that had been arguably the hottest, I would say, Kelly, over the last, you know, 3 weeks or so in the NBA, 9-1 in their last 10. I had zero answer as the Thunder win comfortably and cover. Total goes under, and they are now the short shots here to win the NBA Cup. And SGA, your short shot to win Cup MVP at 2-1.
Yeah, I think no surprise there on either one of those. They should be favored. He should be favored in that market, at least. Even after whatever happens today, I would probably still say the same thing. They'll be favored. He should be favored there. It was impressive. We talked about it yesterday. Mavericks have kind of owned this team a little bit here recently, and I'd think this is a rivalry we're going to see only grow from here over the next several years with SGA and Luka Doncic on these teams. And two of the top two names you got to be on the lookout for MVP this year, as far as who do the voters kind of want to give this award to, they're next up. Jokic obviously doing crazy things this year and is one of three times already. They're going to be the next names up, though, when we talk about who could win MVP. Heck of a game, like you said, though, from the Thunder, man. They really were all over the Mavericks from start to finish in this game, holding Luka Doncic to 16 points on 5 of 15 shooting, holding Kyrie Irving back a little bit. Usually see one of those guys. If one of them gets held back, usually the other one is able to have some room to operate. You just didn't see that last night. I think my biggest takeaway from this game, though, Ben, was, you know, something we had seen in the past with the Mavericks with these bigs, a rotation of bigs with Gafford and Lively that they have, really be able to capitalize on that and punish Oklahoma City for having a little bit smaller lineup. You add Isaiah Hartenstein in there this year, and he finishes with, what, 13 rebounds last night. You just look at total rebounding overall, 52 to 44 advantage for OKC. That was really big in a game last night. And then SGA playing like an MVP in that game, dropping 39 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. Great game for the Thunder. And I think just honestly a big mental win, as much as we want to, as big of a deal or little a deal as you want to make out of the NBA Cup, for this kind of win in a game of somewhat significance between these two teams going forward is big.
And now you look at where OKC goes from here, and not only in the NBA Cup, Kelly, but something we've been at least noticing is the futures in general. And it's something we wanted to hit on as well, because now you're sitting here, SGA, your second favorite behind Nikola Jokic, 3-1. Giannis, by the way, plus 750, third overall. We didn't really get a chance to talk about this in depth on Monday. You had this as a bet. We kind of threw it in at the end of the show since we were so heavy NFL. But I was just thinking last night watching, you know, Jalen Williams, it was a solid game. And for OKC, he is your plus 150 most improved favorite right now. But you have a bet in that market which has just come tumbling down. And there's also been a lot of injuries here that have impacted that as well throughout the course of the last couple weeks or so. So that and Tyler Hero, we're talking about, is now 7-1, at least in that most improved market, which I was totally, I did not have any action in. I was not aware of the sort of pricing that you got. I saw it Monday. I'm like, oh, that seems like a nice long shot. Yeah. I look up at my odds screen and I'm like, wait. This guy's 7-1 now. You got him at what, over 50-1?
Yeah, 55-1 on Sunday, I believe it was. Sunday night, he really got steamed. As a shout out to Michael Bonasano. He's been on Numbers Game multiple times here before. You know, he and I will exchange texts. I love talking most improved players. My favorite award to bet, I think, in any sport is most improved player in the NBA. I think there's a little bit clearer path to what these winners usually are. It's a little bit easier to figure out. But man, you've seen the odds in this awards market bounce around all season long. And I think we're going to talk some MVP too. You're just trying to pick off some longer numbers right now at this time of year when so much of this is so up in the air with the top of the board. Yes, I think the two Jalens belong there as the favorites. But after that, you can start making a lot of arguments for some guys. So yeah, Hero, I mean, look, he's up about 3 points per game from last season. There's all these questions about what Jimmy Butler's future is going to be with the team. I think if he gets shipped out, you're really going to see Tyler Hero become kind of the go-to offensive player in Miami, you know, if he's not there already. And, you know, that's a big deal for a team that might be contending for a playoff spot. So I 7-1, look, yes, like you said, I got it 55 on Sunday. 55-7 is a massive difference. I don't know if I'd be running to bet it at 7-1. We could bring up a third Orlando Magic player in this award market since the beginning of the season, but Jalen Suggs is a guy that I've considered betting in this multiple times, and after last night, you can really see what he can do. And you know, he's gonna have these games without Franz, without Banchero, where he can rack up some stats. So if you are looking to get in on something right now where a number is gonna likely drop going forward, it'd probably be Jalen Suggs is what I tell you.
An opportunity is right there when you think about Franz Wagner out weeks. We still don't know when Paolo Banchero is set to return. So that's your two top guys for Orlando. And this is two games now, two covers for the Magic without their two top stars. With the Wagner news coming out over the weekend, and Suggs has been awesome in both of those games, really carrying the Magic to an upset win over Phoenix over the weekend, and almost pulled off the upset last night over Milwaukee. And it's funny with the Heat thing, and this is where it comes into your Tyler Hero bet. I think we all watched how the start of the year played out and went, all right, this is finally the year where we can we can get rid of the whole Heat culture BS talk. This team's just been a dumpster fire. But at least it's funny, the last 10 games, they're kind of out of sight, out of mind, and here they are. They're a top 7 in net rating last 10. They've won 7 of 10. So I was looking at some look-ahead markets for tomorrow. I was tempted to maybe look at the Raptors here catching a huge number, and then I'm kind of looking deeper. I'm like, wait, Heat are actually playing really good basketball right now. I'm not sure that given how shorthanded the Raptors are, I want to step in front of that. But it is interesting how this Heat team that we have loved to rip analytically for the last couple of years, because they just find weird ways to win tangentially and do things that don't make a whole lot of sense. And yet here they are. They have shown a little bit of life here, Kelly. And I wonder how much of that has to do with the hero resurgence as well in that MIP market.
Yeah. There's that. Jimmy Butler, you know, playing some games again. And look, Bam Adebayo, once again, as he's been doing for the past several seasons, flying under the radar, is one of the best defensive players in the league. I mean, you could argue this is where, I know last year we got in these heavy defensive player of the year arguments with Bam Adebayo. I'm on that side of, I don't really know that he's ever going to get there, or if he does, it's going to be in a down year for the rest of the league. It's just so tough when you're asking these voters to value rim protection, blocks, steals, things like that, versus a guy like Bam Adebayo who can kind of guard 1 through 5, kind of does on a nightly basis, you know, whether you're seeing it or not, and does so at such a high efficient level, but you're just not seeing some of the counting stats out of him that you're going to see from some of these other guys, like Rudy Gobert for years, right? Is always a classic example with how many blocks, and then for whatever reason, defensive rebounds he's getting per game would seem to matter so much more in this Marcus. Not a bet I'm running out to make in that one, but he's such a key to this team, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Jimmy Butler. It's would be an opportunity to try to get one kind of new look team, one more version for Pat Riley, and see if he can do something with it here.
I love your bet, though. I'm going to be rooting for it for you on your behalf. Tyler Hero, Pride of Greenfield, Wisconsin. Let's go. Greenfield, yeah. The Greenfield Hawks, I believe, the high school there in Greenfield, Wisconsin. Alas, we still have a lot to get to on the show today. We'll talk some of the Major League Baseball news and notes. The big one, Max Fried, giant contract for the lefty going to the New York Yankees. We'll talk about that with Jason Weingarten a little bit later. But up next, college football playoff. It's Win Total Wednesdays. We'll talk some win totals out there for the teams that are in the 12-team field as we're just getting started here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on NFL lines at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Introducing Sport Trade, the app that's going to change sports betting. -104 line instead of the typical -110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. Perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Now live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and Virginia. Download Sport Trade and use code VSiN to earn 10% cash back on each wager. Your sweet terms apply. As we are back, it's A Numbers Game on this wonderful Wednesday morning. Kelly Bidlin from downtown Las Vegas, our Circus Sportsbook studios. I'm Ben Wilson. We go out to our progressive guest line right now after a very fun night in the college hoops last night, Kelly, at the Jimmy V Classic. Mm-hmm. Well, upset Arkansas pulls off a big win over Michigan. And we go out to our guy, Jim Root, from the three-man weave, fellow Wisconsinite, who was correcting me in the break, my high school regional knowledge. Tyler Hero, a Whitnall Falcon, and
embarrassed Jim, the whole show, Ben. Gosh.
Jim way better basketball player than I back in the day. He was in the same conference, so you would know, Jim. You would. Welcome to the show, man. Great to have you.
Yeah, happy to be here. Good to talk hoops. I mean, my claim to fame from growing up is playing against J.J. Watt in football and nearly dislocating my shoulder tackling him. So it was a pretty prominent conference. There's some good players up there in Wisconsin.
Dude, Wisconsin, Kelly, I mean, you're from Florida, so you've got this different, you think, I'm sure, like, okay, Florida, it's just a powerhouse of producing talent. Wisconsin is built different. I mean, there's some guys that come out there. I mean, it's a lot of time on the farm getting country strong. And I'm glad you're at least standing, Jim, because I can't imagine facing.
I was going to say, I'd be making business decisions if I saw J.J. Watt running at me. Are you kidding me? I'd be, my shoes untied. I fell over. Oops.
Did they have the shield?
He wasn't running at me. I had him lined up to blindside him, and he still dislocated my shoulder. Oh my
I wonder what was going through young Jim Root's head as he went to try and blindside me. Pre-NFL J.J. Watt. Well, like what Jim and I share, that very, very unique thing in common here, both from Wisconsin, both are University of Missouri alumni. Did you get it? Was there in any emotion, Jim? A little tears falling? Was Mizzou? You and I were both at that game. What, 12 years ago now? When actually, yeah, 12 years ago now, when Missouri and Kansas faced off for the final time in Columbia as Big 12 rivals, we weren't sure if we'd ever see it again. Well, they faced off, and Mizzou gets the upset win on Sunday. They stormed the court, and there's a lot of questions now. People asking what's wrong with Kansas here, but that was a moment of nostalgia. I especially felt watching that thing on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, we've got that rivalry revitalized the last few years, and it's just been completely one-sided. Kansas has dominated. But I think the secret sauce, and you mentioned Arkansas getting the big win last night, Kansas played an SEC team. What are they going to do? It's SEC basketball this year. They're completely dominant in basically every challenge you put them against. The overall record is ridiculous. People that are doing bracketology right now have like 12 teams in them. Obviously, that's probably not going to last when they start playing each other and accumulating more losses. But the non-conference performance has been incredible out of that league. And Mizzou over Kansas and Arkansas over Michigan just continuing to add to that right now.
Is Kansas there? I'm looking at early bracketology already. Three seed as it stands right now. Are they destined to be that sort of team that Bill Self has had in the past that's like, you know, a week three or four that gets seated high just because the committee has so much respect for them. And, you know, they end up facing, what was it, the Bucknell year or the Bradley year. There's been a couple of them where Kansas was probably getting too much respect by the committee and Bettors kind of saw that and picked them off. Or do you see there still being a path forward here for KU once they get into Big 12 play, once they're a little more comfortable in that sort of setting to right the ship a little bit here?
Yeah, I think there's a path for them. They had a weirdly unengaged early effort against Mizzou. I don't know what that was all about, but we've seen them perform at a very high level. Some of the wins that they've already pulled off this year, the UNC win at home, and then, of course, the Duke win on a neutral court that even after Dickinson went out, they were able to hold up and secure that one late. So I think we've seen that high upside from them. And as they get into Big 12 play, and they've just got to figure out the complementary scoring, because right now teams are making DeJuan Harris score or KJ Adams score, and that's not really what those guys want to do. And it's not really the way the team was designed. It should be Rylan Griffin and AJ Storr and Zeke Mayo. Those guys have had some ups and down stretches trying to figure out their roles in that offense. The fortunate thing for Jayhawk fans is that Bill Self's in charge, and he is one of the best coaches in the country, and he's going to figure that out. I think it's just a little bit of a trial and error, sort of figure it out as they go, how they complement Dickinson and Harris and Adams and fitting those new pieces in. I think they will get there and be a rather strong, you know, two or three seed whenever it's all said and done.
Yeah, dip now to 17-1 there for KU as we're joined by Jim Root from the Three Man Weave. Give him a follow at Second Chance Points. The one other team I want to get your take on before we get into some of your bets for today. Wisconsin never liked by the computers. That's not a shock once again this year. But curious your thoughts on a team that started off so strong. They get this resurgent season from John Tanjay, who a former Mizzou guy, just never put it together, was injured, banged up all of last year. But back-to-back-to-back, really tight losses. The two of them were in Big Ten play, Michigan and Illinois last night. Had a great first half, just got blown out of the water by Cam Jones and Marquette over the weekend here. What do you make of a Badger team that seems to lack a little bit of depth? But, I mean, Tanjay's been unbelievably impressive when he's been able to stay on the floor this year.
Yeah, it's just kind of an overall talent question. I was coming into the year with Wisconsin was, all right, how good actually is this roster and where can they actually go? And they've had some guys be bigger contributors than expected. I think Nolan Winter's taken a tiny step, and Tanjay being a star has kind of changed everything about role allocation. It's like, all right, now John Blackwell can be the number two. Stephen Crowell can continue being a complimentary guy that hits shots and can pass out of the post. Having a star has realigned maybe what their expectations are. But yeah, that rough early start to Big Ten play, a home loss at Michigan really hurts. The Kohl Center, typically a place where they're able to get big wins, and Big Ten home court is always strong. I think they're probably going to float along the middle of the pack there. They'll steal a couple on the road. It's just a different team now. They play a little faster. They're way more offensive focused. As a bettor, I've been like, I can't believe I'm confidently betting Wisconsin overs and winning them comfortably, but that's the day we're living in right now with the way Guard has sort of modernized the attack.
Sure thing. Yes, it has been a little bit weird aesthetically to watch the shift in Wisconsin basketball identity, needless to say, over the last few years. All right, Jim, let's get to some of your best bets for today. I love that you are going to, I call it my conference, the WAC, where I get to call all the conference tournament games. For me, the highlight of my a broadcast season, there's always craziness that goes on in the WAC tournament, and you are looking to a team in the WAC. It's a non-con game, California Baptist, the Lancers, injury-riddled last year, getting a great season from Dominique Daniels, and they go to San Diego State tonight, catching 15. I don't know if this was contractually obligated, Jim, but I love that you're bringing up a WAC team here with me on the show today.
Oh, of course. I had to shoehorn it in here. No, I love Cal Baptist. I've loved them since the start of the season. I just thought they had the right pieces. And last year, Daniels got hurt. As you mentioned, he's their key point guard, floor leader. Without him, they kind of tumble off a cliff. But they've got some interior scorers with Brown and Coleman. And really, this is kind of a general narrative. We'll see this with one of my other picks, too. This is being finals week, and your favorites at home maybe aren't as motivated as they would be in the home opener or a conference opener. You get these non-conference games that feel a little like, all right, let's just get the win. Let's get across the finish line. You saw it with Duke last night against Incarnate Word, a rather unimpressive effort. But so I'm taking Cal Baptist here, going to San Diego State. I think 15 is a little too many for a dog that has talent, and I just don't know that this is going to be a hyper engaged San Diego State team where they're not ready to blow out a capable dog by 25 or whatever. So that's one pick. And then, yeah, as we get into some of the others, I think that narrative will come up again.
Sure thing. Yeah. Rick Croy, head coach for CBU, longtime head coach there for the Lancers, one of the most respected, long tenured mid-major coaches out there as well. Yeah. We get the Indiana Directional School battle, the formerly known IUPUI Jaguars, now IU Indy, taking on IPFW, little Jaguars Mastodons breakdown here, Jim, which we always love on a Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, Horizon League. So I guess this one doesn't quite fit what I'm saying as a narrative because this is a conference game. This does matter a little more for Purdue Fort Wayne than it would be for a typical favorite at home laying 15. But this is more about IU Indy to me, a team that has been circling the drain of Division I the last few years, like bottom three in the country. But they brought in a new coach. IU Indy hired U Indy's coach. Try to follow that. Division II, University of Indianapolis. And that's kind of galvanized the program a little bit. They brought some players with from U Indy, and those guys have created a little bit of a core with some continuity from last year. They struggled a little bit out of the gate because this team isn't overly athletic, but getting into conference play, I don't think they're going to get overwhelmed by teams. So getting 15 there with IU Indy against Fort Wayne, I think is a good spot.
Perfect. Then we're looking over in Fresno State, BYU. BYU off the AJ DeBonsa news. The first ever five-star recruit going to BYU. How about that for the Cougs?
Yeah, they dug deep into the pockets for that one. So congratulations to them, to BYU. But yeah, I like this against Fresno, a team that wants to get up and down. They hired Vance Wahlberg this offseason, a coach that used to be at Pepperdine and then was in the high school ranks, the inventor of the dribble drive motion. They really ping pong back and forth up the floor. And I think BYU, off that loss to Providence in the Big East Big 12 battle, is going to be more than content to try to run up the score here, score a ton of points, and run with Fresno. So high possession count, high efficiency game up in that elevation.
Great stuff. He's Jim Root from the Three Man Weave. Always a pleasure, man, catching up with you. Be well. Best of luck here with the plays tonight.
Cheers. Thanks, Ben. Good to talk to you.
Absolutely. The fellow Wisconsinite Mizzou along, Jim Root, crosses off multiple boxes here on the ANG bingo. We'll come back, talk a little NBA Cup for tonight. How about some NFL awards? We'll do that on the other side of the numbers game.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Our number two of a numbers game back here on a Wednesday morning with Kelly Bidlin from downtown Las Vegas, holding it down at our Circus Sportsbook studios. I'm Ben Wilson in for Gil Alexander. One day, Gil off the rest of the week. We got a fun hour number two coming up, though. Jason Weingarten joined us in 15 minutes talking a little MLB offseason moves. And right now, we go out to our progressive guest line. He is Jonathan Von Tobel, senior NBA analyst, to join us right now. And he was also, Kelly, the host of our, I think this was our first ever, a live YouTube / X stream over the weekend with the College Football Bracket Reveal Show. I was very, JVT, doing the NFL live show at the same time. I was awfully jealous of you and Adam Burke getting to sip cold, refreshing beverages over at Bar Canada while just kind of like casually talking college football, man. It was I was envious of your position. I'm sure it was a lot of fun, though.
First off, haven't talked to you for a while, buddy, so I'm happy to talk to you. I'm glad you're doing well. Second, it was actually a point in the meeting to emphasize alcohol consumption. I'm not even kidding, on this show. So the second they had me, our new boss, Steve, I was like, I'm in. Let's do it. You can't find a better guy than me. Oh, and I'll talk college football, too.
And yeah, the college football secondary, yes. And I mean, I don't know. Did you guys follow the Bar Canada code? I mean, Labatt, Blue, Molson. I mean, Kelly's a big Crown and Coke guy whenever he's over there. Crown and Diet for you, Kelly. Whenever
thank
you're
Ben.
Over
get it right. That's right.
Apologies. I should know Kelly's order at this point. I don't know what
I can see
the,
that.
What you went?
I can see that loose shirt and that cut jaw. All right, from all the way over here, I see it. There's a lot of diets and crowns. No, I did tequila and soda, and I had to slow that one down because I had one, and then I was like halfway through my second, and I was like, you know, I do have to form coherent sentences at some point here, so I had to chill out.
Yeah, it can be a little bit dangerous, yes, once you start down that path. JBT, want to get into college football playoff talk, NFL mostly, any NBA Cup action though you have for tonight, anything you have added futures-wise since we saw the two games that played out last night?
No, so nothing futures wise. I do have a bet and then a pending wager as well. Depends on what's going to happen with injury report for Atlanta. But I did go under 223.5 for Golden State Houston. Frankly, you know, last night we were on the Aaron Veasan primetime with Aaron Renning on Professional Handicapper, and we talked about this thing being playable at under 222. So I'm kind of surprised a little bit that the market pushed this up to the point where we're at right now. These are two pretty solid defensive teams. We know that in the non-Curry minutes, this Warrior squad has really struggled to create some offense and against one of the better defensive teams in the NBA. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's going to continue here in this game. We saw last night, I mean, that game ended up going over the total, but that was, I think, due to a little bit of an outlier performance from Jalen Suggs, who had half a thumb on one of his hands. But outside of that, I think you're going to get a little bit more of a gritty type of performance here in an elimination game. So I think all of those factors led to me going under the total here. So I went under 223.5 for this matchup. And the other I'll mention really quickly, I mentioned the injury report. I want to see if the Hawks' depth is going to be a little bit more together. Bogdan Bogdanovic is questionable. DeAndre Hunter's probable, but he's on the injury report. Jalen Johnson is on the injury report as well. I need both DeAndre Hunter, Jalen Johnson, and I'd rather have Bogdan Bogdanovic on the floor if I'm going to play the Atlanta Hawks. But, you know, Kelly knows this. I like this Hawks team a lot. I think they'd be live in this spot, but that injury report scared me off of Atlanta here in this spot.
Yeah, I think if anybody's looking at them today, you got to know at least the two you mentioned are going to go. But I think I'd want all three with this Knicks offense coming to town. Hey, Houston Rockets side, did you consider it all, JVT? I got pretty close to it, but they might have me a little bit on tilt after last week in the same matchup. And Ben, what's it been since the bubble, since they finally got a win? So yeah,
since February 2020, 15 yeah. straight.
Stay away from me, but I leaned that way. Get close to a side in on that game?
Yeah, for me, it was probably going to be Houston. I mean, Golden State, you know, as we've kind of seen here, has fallen off quite a bit since that really hot start. And a lot of it has had to do with that offense, right? I mean, And even in that win against Houston, you got it. You didn't even crack 100 when they played a couple of days ago. So a little mini revenge spot there for Houston to kind of get this thing done. Don't really like the way the Golden State's playing. So yeah, I thought it was going to be Houston or nothing here. I like this Warriors team, as you know, and I've got this win total over as my favorite one. And we've kind of tapered off a little bit here. I think they're at a good pace to still get this thing over, but I very much kind of started to stretch the collar out a little bit with this win total for Golden State. Would like them to pick it up a bit.
We'll go into some college football, some NFL here as well with Jonathan Von Tobel, our senior NBA analyst. Check him out at MeJVT, daily NBA comms as well. But also, I've been riding the wave here with Carolina Panther money, JVT. I heard you the other day on Lombardi Line. You've been part of this money 5 straight weeks. The Panthers have covered, and now for the first time in 34 games, they will finally break the streak as non-favorites. They will be favorites. Not only are they favorites here against Dallas, but they're taking a lot of money out to 2.5 in the market against Dallas. JVT, Mr. Carolina Panther over here. Are you riding the wave here another week on the Panthers?
Yes, they've covered 5 straight. I've bet on them for 6 straight. My run started in that Broncos game that they failed to cover. Whatever, they catch like 14 or whatever it was, 6 weeks ago. This is the week for sure that I'm either going to pass or, Ben, I'm waiting for 3 if that full 3 comes up here with Dallas. It's been a very good run for Carolina. They have been absolutely fantastic, as you've mentioned, covering these games. They're playing with a little bit more verve, right? They're actually showing some confidence. Bryce Young has looked a lot better by his own standards. But if you just look at this run that they've been on, guys, we're talking about 7-point underdog, 6.5-point underdog, 10.5-point underdog, 6.5-point underdog, 14-point underdog. And yes, right? Like we're talking about like one score games with Kansas City, Tampa Bay, and Philly, but it is so much easier to ask a team like this to stay inside of big numbers as opposed to win and win by margin. And that is the thing that really turns me off here. So if it gets to that full 3, I'm going to be in. I'll take that 3 with Dallas. I understand if everybody wants to get, you know, kind of hop off with Dallas after the failed cover. Really an awful beat for you on Monday night. Overshown is out on defense too, so that's a pretty big blow here. But Carolina still has issues on defense. And I just don't know if I'm ready. Look, like you said, I've been Mr. Panther, but I've been Mr. Panther catching points. I don't know if I'm ready to ask Bryce Young to win by margin in a spot like this. So I'll wait for three. If it doesn't get there, I won't have anything in this game.
Hey, credit to you, man. You've come on here every single week and brought up Carolina Panthers, and yeah, it has become a thing. I know we want to get to some college football with you. Anything else in the NFL this week that really jumped out to you?
Yeah, there's two things really quickly in the NFL, both totals. First off, Kansas City and Cleveland. We're up to like 45 in some spots. The 44.5s are starting to disappear. I'd say that 44.5 is still playable over, but I think that this is going to be a pretty high-scoring affair. We've seen this before. This Kansas City Chiefs secondary has been pretty abysmal. They're rating around 24th in opponent EPA per pass, Kelly. We've seen a lot of different opponents, including Aiden O'Connell, the aforementioned Bryce Young, really go after this secondary and have a lot of success through the air. And I think Jameis Winston can do that while also being Jameis, giving an offense to Kansas City potentially some short fields to work with to get this game over the total. So I think over here, also had another over in Indy and Denver. I thought that this is really playable too. Indy's a very simplistic defense. They are not very good. We have seen that Gus Bradley, I think, is going to be, he's been outcoached, and I think he's going to get outcoached from a schematic standpoint against Denver. And I think that this has a high scoring affair written all over it. And for Denver too, look, don't forget, this Denver team's been good, but we've seen their little defensive blowups as well. Baltimore, Cleveland also had some pretty big scoring affairs against them. And Anthony Richardson, since he's come back into the starting lineup, guys, by PFF standards, he is one of the top seven quarterbacks in the National Football League. I think he's floating around six or something like that. And they've been running him a lot more. This offense has looked way better since they've started to change a little bit with the way they're operating. So I think that's going to be a high scoring game. Also think the Colts can stay inside four again. Denver.
He is Jonathan Von Tobel with us right now on a numbers game, talking a little NBA, NFL. We also transitioned JVT into the college football, where not only are the playoff lines have they been out, they've been bet into, but we also have bowl games now out, and we get ready for the portal season where we're going to get just giant swings in the bowl stuff. Anything other bowl games besides the playoff that you think would be good bets now before some of this portal stuff comes out, if there are kind of rumors and directions leaning certain ways?
Well, that's the problem, right? There's like a lot of rumors I could point to and go, hey, I think this might be worth it. So like, for example, humans and I were talking like Boston College moneyline against Nebraska here in the Pinstripe Bowl. There's a lot of rumblings that Dylan Raiola might want to leave Nebraska and that he wants to go chase a championship potentially somewhere else. We haven't seen anything official. At least I haven't seen anything yet. But we're also starting to see that number move toward Boston College. It's open 4.5. We're down to 2.5 now. And I think that you could get a flip of favorites there. And these are you get some wild swings in some of these bowls, especially if a name like Raiola is not going to be available. And the other, I mean, look, I've had a pretty good read on this team for the most part all year long. Might as well go to the Los Angeles Bowl for UNLV and Cal. Interesting part here is what's going to happen with UNLV, because Odom's gone. Rumblings that Brennan Marion, their offensive coordinator, who has scrubbed all of his UNLV mentions from social media, also not going to be on. Yeah, it's not going to be on the sideline to call plays for this offense. Remember, they have an NFL prospect and Ricky White at wide receiver, who I don't know why he would play in this bowl. But the weird thing is, we saw this get up to four guys. We're now down to two as Cal's status with its quarterback is in question. Although, because this is bowl season, you got to do everything. He did speak at a banned pep rally yesterday, so maybe that means something. But those are the ones that really stick out at this point outside of the playoff game.
Man, what a breakdown there from JVT, Ben Wilson. Awesome. Come on, where else are you going to get that kind of information?
I mean, come on, nowhere. Social media, it's what it's there for.
Well, that was the other one was the Miami thing with Cam Ward, where people have been betting Miami nonstop. I think the assumption was he would not play the bowl game. Iowa State opens a 1-point favorite. You see this, Kelly? There's literally like a, I don't know which social media it was on, but it's him. Like, it was like a recorded FaceTime with him and Shedeur Sanders where Cam Ward's like, yeah, I'm playing. And now Miami's out to what? 4.5-point favorites. It's like, if it's come to that level, JVT, and that's what I think bothers a lot of bettors about betting bowl games, but that's also what can be brilliant if you're on the right side of it.
Yeah, 100%. Kelly, I agree with you, too. I don't know why he would play. And he said that on a call with Shedeur Sanders, who also said he was play. And Shedeur gets the honor of playing in a bowl game against a conference opponent, BYU, which is really weird and an odd setup for a bowl game. So don't really know how you get jazzed up to play a conference foe. But yeah, I think it was a FaceTime call that was streamed on IG Live. I think that's how that went down.
Oh, all right. Okay, I'm trying to keep up with all that. The four college football playoff games, JVT, we've seen some early moves. Which of the moves here do you disagree with? We've seen lots of money on Penn State, money on Tennessee, and it looks like under money here in Clemson and Texas. Those have been the three most notable ones.
Yeah, I don't think I really necessarily disagree with any of them, Ben, to be a kind of a wet blanket. There hasn't been much that I have outside of we saw some spots go from like 10.5 to 11.5 in the first day for Texas and Clemson, but that's getting bought back. I did go under 47.5 with Tennessee, Ohio State, and took 8 with the Volunteers.
Beautiful. All right. He's Jonathan Von Tobel, senior NBA analyst. You also see him on VSiN Primetime throughout the week. Always good to catch up, man. We'll see you soon.
Yep. Good to talk to you guys. Ben, take it easy.
Absolutely. Will do. And we will be joined by Jason Weingarten when we come back. Talk a little MLB. What are his thoughts now on the futures board with a couple of big moves over the last couple days? We'll do that next year on A Numbers Game.